But good morning, whoever is listening. As I understand it, we have a group of people on the line who are considering a career with Cambridge Advisors, the Alliance of Cambridge Advisors. And I know it's a diverse group. Some of you are currently in financial planning field. Others may be career changers, as I understand it. But I think the purpose of this call is to open us up as, you know, existing members to questions that you have and share our experiences with you and see if we can guide you in any way. But I've been with Cambridge the longest, so I'll go first. But I joined Cambridge in 1997, so it's been 13 years for me. I was a commissioned financial planner, quote unquote, if you will. I had worked for a large insurance company, and basically, you know, I would find prospects, tell them I was a financial planner, hope they were interested in talking to me. Basically, go to their home, fill out a fact finder, come back a few weeks later with a quote unquote financial plan, which was 40 pages long and had their name on it and looked real good. And usually around page 18 or 19 was how much insurance I wanted them to buy. And somewhere around page 30 was how much mutual funds I needed them to buy. And that was basically my first 7 or 8 years in financial planning, because that was what was common and what was most prevalent in the industry. I always had a problem with it, just because I really felt like my best interests came first. Everybody needed insurance. Everybody needed 5% loaded mutual funds. Everybody needed annuities. And one day I was reading, I think, Financial Planning magazine or something, one trade journal, and there was a little ad in the back about converting to fee-only. Fee-only was a relatively new concept back in the middle 90s, not that many people doing it. I think NAPFA only had under 200 people when I joined. But in any case, it was for Cambridge Advisors at the time, which was run by a guy named Burt Whitehead. And so I pursued that and became interested in it and did everything I needed to do to convert my practice to fee-only and ultimately join Cambridge Advisors. I'll let Bill give his history now, but and then we can talk about, you know, what I liked about it, what worked, what didn't work, and things like that, if that's a good way to go.
Sure. Yeah, I'll jump in. I've been with Cambridge, since 2003. Prior to that, I was working for a fairly large fee-only wealth management firm. They had about they have 100 million under management, about 200 clients, and it was a pure fee-only model. I was working for them about 20 hours a week because I was still active in my previous profession. And I'd gotten into financial planning as something I was going to do in the future at that time, and now I am doing it 100% of my time. But over the years, I'd always seen the value of affiliating with others of like mind and having a network of people to go to when I didn't have all the answers, because no single individual ever has all the answers, and there's always value in having people you can kick ideas around with and come up with something that maybe you hadn't considered or thought about before. I was in the process of kind of doing the mental work of setting up my own practice when I went to a NAPFA study group session down in San Diego, and Burt Whitehead, the founder of the Alliance, was there for the study group talking about his new book, Facing Financial Dysfunction. And I was just really, really impressed with the approach that was described in the book and how it could be used to position a client's thinking, and a planner's thinking for that matter, in a comprehensive way around a client's situation. And one that wasn't just solely focused on their investment assets, because I'd come to the thinking that, you know, there's more to it than this. And over the years, it's just that kind of thinking's been reinforced time and time and time and time again, is that being a better investment manager, though you can add a few things through that, the things you really add and the biggest difference you make is through client behavior. So what I found at the start that kind of just tickled at me a little bit was there seemed to be some, you know, some affiliation there of similarity. Is as I did my due diligence around Cambridge, I found a group of diverse, well-talented individuals that though they come from so many different backgrounds, that only adds more depth, but everybody's really committed to being a comprehensive planner, not just an asset gatherer. So
yep.
That's kind of where, those are the thoughts that come to my mind.
Okay. Amy?
I was going to say, Greg, would you like to talk about why you stay with Cambridge?
Sure. Well, as the practice grew, I found that the fact that, you know, I guess the old saying of, you know, you work alone, but you're not alone. You know, I have my own business, but I also feel like I'm part of an organization that gives me a lot of value. Anywhere from research to, you know, practice management techniques, systems, software systems. We have everything, and every member uses different things. Some of them are more important to me than others, but the reason I stay is because, you know, I am part of a nationwide organization, and it keeps me in the financial planning game nationwide and keeps my pulse on what's going on, and it also allows me to talk to other members in similar situations. Keeps me from making mistakes by myself, things that I would make, that I would potentially could be making mistakes on. I can now decide, you know, are other people doing this? Would this be best for my practice? Has this worked for others? And things like that. You know, that's really, really important to me.
Yeah, I can echo some of those comments. I think the best experience to learn from is somebody else's. And certainly in terms of avoiding mistakes. And there are so many things that you go through when you establish a practice, step by step by step, things that you never have done before that looked maybe pretty easy to do when you were first introduced to the idea that, you know, you're going to have to do X, Y, Z, fill out an ADV, you know, get your contracts, decide how much to charge. That for me was probably the biggest thing is, you know, how much am I going to charge? I know what the other planners charge, but how do you really do it and what's reasonable? And Cambridge gave me a method, and they also gave me the support in the thinking in terms of, you know, the biggest mistake somebody makes when they start out is they don't charge enough because they don't have their confidence built up, and there's a number of other, you know, reasons why we do what we do and we have to learn. And if you can shortchange that process through good guidance and the experience of others, you're up and on your way and running much more quickly than you would be on your own. And like Greg said, it's being part of a group. And as such, you're going to have access to a wide array of tools, opportunities, experiences, et cetera, some of which are going to be more appealing to you at first glance than others. But as you get into it, you're going to find that, you know, I didn't really think I was going to use that. But that's really interesting. And, you know, that thing over there that I had no idea even existed, that's really valuable. And that's going to save me this effort, that effort, and another effort. It happens day after day after day through the discussion forum we maintain. And it's just, it's an ongoing value. It's pretty irreplaceable.
For me, you know, we've heard it before, but the system is the solution. And I'm a big believer in getting a system up and running, and when it's up and running, not, you know, tweaking it when you have to, but using it. You know, I feel like if you've ever read the book The E-Myth by Michael Gerber, it talks about small businesses and the reason they fail, and the primary reason is not having a system. And, you know, I have people walk in this door, and it's like a McDonald's. I mean, they're just, it's the same thing over and over. Doesn't matter how much money they have. Doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter. None of those things are different. We just all put them on the same system, and the system is blueprinted. What that does is creates a real business for you rather than, you know, say if you're a salesperson or you're working for a brokerage house or you don't own your business. You own, as an alliance member, your own business. And that becomes scalable. It also becomes, you know, you can sell that in the future. It has a value. Fee-only practices are fetching 2x gross revenues these days. So, you know, in my case, on my 13th year, I've built a practice that has a pretty significant value if I were to decide to do something, you know, with it. That's huge to me. Somebody could walk in, I could sell this, stick around a year, and the person could run the systems right like I run them. So that's another thing.
Yeah, there's a number of, you know, study groups that spot up from time to time that different members will get a group of a handful of people, a handful of members together that are at a similar stage in their practice development and life cycle. And they'll pull the existing resources and then go to work on this project where they want to do, for instance, blueprint their systems,
mm-hmm.
like Greg, like you've already done.
Yeah.
I know there's a couple groups out there that are on that task right now because of that importance to them to build something of value that they can sell someday. And that's one thing that's really, really valuable is the diversity of the group and also the willingness to give of your time to one another. I've got a mentoring call this afternoon with somebody, and when I was first starting out and I had questions, it was great because, you know, you talk to this particular individual and you get an idea who was doing what and, you know, what aspects of their practice were similar to what you wanted to create. And I'd send them an email and say, you know, I'm working on this. I understand you had, you know, some unique challenges or unique experiences that I could benefit from. Is there a time we can talk? You know, I'm putting the subject line, new ACA member needs help, or so, you know, something like that. So I knew it would catch their eye because we all get, you know, volumes of email. But invariably, to a person, everybody responded and, you know, gave me an hour and sent me some documents and, you know, here it is. Do with it as you need to. You don't find that in other places.
Thank you, Bill and Greg. I'd like to, if you don't have anything else you want to add at this particular moment, I'd like to open it up to questions and answers. Just hit star 6 to unmute your phone. Does anyone have any questions out there? I know there have got to be some. You've got two very successful, well-experienced ACA members on the phone.
Amy, I have a question, and for both guys, actually. I wonder if they might talk just a bit about transitioning existing relationships to the ACA method.
That's a good question. Is this Steve?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
All right. Are you currently in the business?
Yes, and we're doing fee-based asset management.
So you're charging a percentage of assets under management?
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other commission sales of products?
No.
Okay. I don't think you'd have a hard time converting existing clients to it at all. In fact, it would be you would be enhancing the current relationship that you have with them. You know, you've done the hard part. You've built the trust, I think. Now you can add on other things other than just investment management, taxes, insurance advisory, estate planning. All those things can be added on. You can get more fees. But I don't think, you know, it's hard to, you're really not converting investment clients to anything new. I would think it would be more of enhancing the current relationship. That would be my, Bill, you would.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking about it. The Cambridge model, really looking back at it today after being in the system for a while on my own, you know, it's truly a comprehensive methodology and system, and comprehensive to the point of it's true wealth management for people. What I tell my clients when, or prospects when they come in, and really an ongoing client, is when you're changing what you do for them a little bit, could be kind of viewed in a similar fashion, is I'm their financial advocate. I'm their chief personal financial officer. And unlike a lot of other people on the street that they can find that want to sell them some investments, or maybe they're a fee-only NAFA member. Generally what the NAFA folks are after is gathering the assets. And they're required, we're all NAFA members, you know, to offer comprehensive financial planning. Doesn't mean you really have to do it. And a lot of folks really don't do it. And time again, the value added is in the comprehensive look. It's getting lined up with your client and how they are looking at their money, using their money, behaving with regard to their money, that really helps bring, I keep wanting to use the term alpha. I guess I've been reading too many investment periodicals lately. There really isn't, in most cases, ongoing alpha that anybody can deliver in the investment arena. It just, over time, doesn't exist. The true alpha exists in the relationship and in, you know, getting them a better after-tax result, making sure they're not overspending over here, and, you know, getting them on the path that's well-aligned and getting everything working together to that ultimate goal of however they describe financial independence. The way I would approach it, if I had an existing practice, I think, would be to start showing them what makes sense to you in terms of what you want to grasp from the system, and you know, how it can make a difference for them. Yeah. You know, if you want to talk on a purely individual level, I'd be happy to talk to you and after I have a better sense of really what your thinking is, what you're currently doing, and how that dovetails with maybe, you know, with the ACA approach. But in a general way, I think I've kind of covered what might make sense.
Okay, and for the benefit of those who might be on the call that are looking at transitioning from a traditional brokerage arrangement or commission-driven arrangement, any suggestions or comments there?
Greg, you might have a greater sense of that.
Well, I'm going to paint it like it is, and I can just give you my experience. And I hope it doesn't scare people, but I thought, you know, I had 200 policyholders, if you will, and I called them clients, but, you know, they were customers, basically, and I thought that I would have no problem converting every one of them to fee-only, and when I went back and I told them what I was going to do for them and how much better I was going to work, they said, well, why should I pay you? You've been doing it all along for free. So I only converted 10% of those. I got about 20 people to convert over that saw the value of comprehensive planning and were willing to pay for it. Those people are still with me today after 13 years. So, you know, I mean, it's a start, but I think it's a complete paradigm shift in thinking for both the planner and the client.
Yeah, 10% conversion rate, though, that's a pretty good number.
It is.
I thought I'd get half of them. From most metrics, I'm sure,
but
it was a huge surprise.
Yeah, but it was all I needed to get going.
Yeah, that's enough to get a snowball rolling.
Yeah, because then you get them, you know, believing in what you're doing, and then of course, you know, they can refer. So,
I'm curious. Maybe we can get into this issue a little further if it's would be helpful, Steve. But what is it that makes you curious about taking what you have and transitioning it? And what are you hoping to get out of Cambridge?
I've been in this business for quite some time. I was a property and casualty agent for many, many years. And I thought that a lot of my clients would convert from property and casualty to financial planning, or let me say asset management. And my conversion ratio was about 10%.
There we go.
Of course, right. I can continue to do asset management under my own RIA, and that's fine. But I think to answer your question, the primary draw to me as a veteran of this industry is the ability to call on like-minded individuals when you run into cases you haven't seen or you need some help or encouragement in some areas. My attraction to Cambridge really is more the Cambridge community.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can certainly quickly adapt to the methodology, but that the community is what I'm looking for.
Sure. Well, that's one of the big. I'm on the board of directors, and that's one of the things that time and time and time again as we talk to our membership and survey our membership as to how well we're doing and what we ought to be doing and trying to keep the organization focused on what's important now, is that's the number one thing everybody values. And as we grow, our commitment is to maintain that because we know it's unique. And it's also of tremendous importance to everybody. So I would say, you know, everybody kind of depending on where they are when they're starting out might be attracted for a different reason. once you get the practice in place, the tools in place, et cetera, it's the community that keeps people involved. And like many things, the more involvement you have, the greater your sense of ownership, the more you get back. But it's definitely a real thing. This discussion forum is really only the start, because it can serve as almost a CE tool, because you read about different cases, you read about different circumstances, and it keeps your mind active around problems, scenarios, and solutions that you haven't had the experience to learn on your own. Gives you the opportunity to ask the questions, and then over time, it's like you end up with direct contacts that you know you can call. And it's such a diverse group. We've got former attorneys, former CPAs, former broker types, former insurance types. So you get subject matter specialists or experts. And you couldn't duplicate it in your own firm, really. And for somebody that's just starting out, it's a huge thing. So,
any other questions from anyone out there?
Hi, this is Patrick in Washington. I had a question about coming from the side of a career transition. I currently don't work in the industry, but I'm looking to work as a fee-only financial planner. And so I have no experience, and I'm wondering if the Cambridge tool or system would help me with that experience or gain that experience as I look to go forward, or if it would be something that would be better used after I, you know, could find a position working with another firm, and then maybe down the road after I've got a few years of experience underneath my belt, then look to move over to a Cambridge-type setup. So I'd be curious to see what your thoughts and experiences are with people who are brand new to the industry with no experience in the Cambridge model.
Bill, I think that one's for you.
You're
a career switcher, right?
Yeah, I'm a career switcher. I did things a little bit kind of slowly in a way. A little bit more of my story. I was going through the coursework at the local university to be able to sit for the CFP exam, and I was almost, well, actually, going back a little further, after I took the first course, I ended up getting a part-time job as an analyst working for my first professor, who was also actually instructor, not a professor, who was also a fee-only planner. And I worked for her for probably about a year and a half. And by that time, I was almost done with the coursework, and I got recruited by the firm I talked about initially. And I always had my sights on doing my own thing. And when this opportunity came along, I thought, well, you know, maybe this would be a good fit. They're really well respected, you know, all that kind of thing. Be a great opportunity. So I went to work for them and was there for almost about 3 years, and kind of came to the conclusion, you know, I really am headed where I always was. But at that stage, I left there, you know, pretty much with nothing. And I know we've improved tremendously and ramped up what we have to offer today for a new person versus what was, you know, truly polished and in place. I think it was there, just wasn't as polished when I started. There's, well, like anything else, it's the tools are there. It's up to every individual to pick them up and use them. And there's tools in the form of documents, in the form of study groups and you know, marketing support groups, et cetera, which will tell you and help you do what you need to do, but ultimately you are going to have to do it. It's not going to just be, hey, I joined Cambridge and ta-da, look, I've got 50 clients and I'm wealthy, or I'm on my way to being wealthy. I guess kind of where I'm headed, the thought that's really in the back of my mind, it would help you either way you want to go, whether you know, you get some experience, direct experience on your own. There may be a Cambridge member that lives near you that you could visit. A fair number of advisors in the country will have people over and, you know, sit in my practice for a couple of days while I meet clients, and you see how I interact and how I do things. There's all different avenues and ways you can approach what you're trying to achieve. And I think some of the question as to what's most logical depends on your particular circumstances, on how you can move from where you are right now to success. And, you know, what kind of resources do you bring to bear? What's your vision for a practice? And I don't know if that helps you with your question or not.
Yeah, that helps. It sounds like, you know, Cambridge provides just a great tool set to do that. But, you know, I feel like I need some everyday working experience first before maybe I could able to utilize those tools successfully. I mean, I don't know. I've taken the CFP exam, and so I feel like I have all this academic knowledge about the financial planning, but I haven't spent one day working in any type of financial firm, be it an industry, be it an insurance company or a commission sales based or fee only practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, like what logically works for individuals would be ideally to try and find a place to work where I could get the experience and general level knowledge, and as my career progresses, then maybe look to use the Cambridge model. I think that sounds like a path forward for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking that.
Well, I do know something that, you know, the opportunity to visit other practices and see how others work, you can learn a tremendous amount there. There are a number of training tools that get utilized in the initial training that show you how to handle an appointment and how to do. And when I say an appointment, generally they're modular. It's like, you know, here's how to handle the insurance planning. Here's how to handle the retirement planning. Here's how to handle investments. And there's ways to learn that way, and certainly that would be, you know, gold to somebody that is in your particular situation and circumstance going forward. And especially if that opportunity doesn't present itself where, you know, you would have a close mentoring relationship, and you were going to go the direction of pursuing a Cambridge practice straight out of the box. So, I mean,
any CFPs on the call that are currently working in commission? Or don't want to identify themselves?
I think they don't want to identify themselves.
That's fine.
I think there are.
Yeah.
Okay.
What kind of work do you do now, Patrick?
I actually do financial planning, but it's in the public realm, so I work for the government as a financial analyst.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what kind of clients, you know, are you talking to?
It's not client-based. It's organizational-based. So it's, you know, working with production managers and those types of interfacing with clients. It's not a one-on-one, individual, unique situation type of financial planning.
Well, what's the topic? Is it about individuals' finances, or is it a more organizational?
It's organizational.
Well, you know, you've got a consultative experience right there.
Right.
And in truth, I didn't realize this, but in my own experience, I was in the fire service for 27 years. And I worked most of those years professionally as a medic, but I also was heavily involved as a business rep for Employees Association. And I served on the board of directors as well. We had 3,000 members. I was responsible for a 700-member unit in terms of contract negotiations, the whole gamut of things that would go on. But to prepare for these things, I had to do all kinds of analytical work to understand compensation arrangements, you know, what's the, you know, market out there, what's the situation, what's it going to bear, et cetera. And then working as a medic, granted, it's an emergency circumstance, but it's consultative. Okay, what's the chief complaint is the way we talk about it as a medic. In Cambridge, we say, what's the spear in the back? You know, what brought you here? Why am I here? Why'd you call? What's your chief complaint? And these are all medical terms, but it's basically the same thing. Okay, this is what got. This is the history. This is your main complaint. This is my analysis of your circumstances. This is my recommendation for how you move forward and get where you want to go. And we've had, as members, I'm thinking more in my experience, number of planners that were emergency room docs that I met that came into this. And we talked about this. I said, yeah, the topic is different, but the process is roughly the same. So you do have, I would argue, experience that's transferable. So the topic is going to be a little different in terms of it's not the organization or the entity you're going to be dealing with. It's going to be an individual, but within their own circumstance, they've got a family system, which is a mini organization. And unpeeling the issues that are going on in the family that are getting in the way of them doing what they need to do financially is an aspect of good, comprehensive financial planning. So I think you probably have more tools in your belt already than you realize.
Thanks for that feedback. That was really good. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Who else? There's got to be somebody else there.
I know. There were quite a few beeps before I started the recording.
Well, I know I was pretty quiet first time I called in.
Okay. All right, well, maybe we can get some more questions out of our guest next month. I'd like to thank our hosts today, Greg Fenton and Bill Cuthbertson, for doing our call today. If you have any other questions specifically about training, I'd be more than happy to answer them for you. And I guess that concludes our call. Thank you, everybody, for your time.
Thank you all.
You're welcome. Glad to be a part of it. Thanks, Amy. Thanks, Greg.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.